You're listening to Louisiana Insider, a superlative guide to a great state's destinations, hosted by Errol Labor, executive editor of Louisiana Life magazine.
It's our Louisiana song. It's our favorite melody. It's our Louisiana song. Hearing it echo through the cypress tree.
There is a product that grows in Louisiana, and pretty much Louisiana exclusively, pretty much in one parish exclusively, that a lot of people don't know about. But yeah, it's certainly a part of the Louisiana, important part of Louisiana agriculture story, and it's just pretty unique. It's a tobacco. It's called Perique tobacco, and it grows in St. James Parish. Now, if you're confused about which parish is which, if you look at the River Parish, it's the one that has Convent as its parish seat. That'd be St. James Parish. And if you're confused about Convent, if you know where Manresa is, well, Manresa is in Convent. And so that can kind of get you into the right neighborhood. With me is Mike Mathern, who grew up in St. James Parish and whose family has been in the tobacco business, I guess, all his life. I mean, just going back. So, Michael, let's begin. What is unique about Perique tobacco?
The thing that makes Perique unique, Errol, is that it is both a variety of tobacco, which is uniquely grown in St. James Parish from heirloom seed, but it is also a process. So not only is tobacco grown in native St. James Parish soil, but the process to cure it post extraction from the earth, where we take the tobacco and we brown it and we put it in small packs, we put it in huge whiskey barrels, and then we jack pressure down on the top of those barrels and we cure the tobacco with pressure. That is the part that makes Perique tobacco different than any other tobacco in the world.
What is it used for? Now, if I understand, it's a pretty powerful tobacco. So you wouldn't use it for smoking, would you, or unless you add some other tobaccos in it?
When most people think of tobacco, obviously they think of cigarettes first. And then when you tell them you are growing a rich form of tobacco, they may think of a cigar that has more of a robust flavor or a robust smell. But Perique's main use worldwide is as a condiment in pipe tobacco. And Perique is maybe used in different blends of pipe tobacco with as little as 5 or 10%. And I kind of make an analogy that is the salt and pepper of tobacco. It helps the other tobaccos in that blend to bring out the flavors. When St. James tobacco Perique is done right, Errol, there are notes in the tobacco that are there in no other flavor. When St. James tobacco is done right, when you smoke it, you may get an apricot flavor. You may get a pruny, earthy, rich taste. So it's unlike if anyone you ever smoked a cigarette, it doesn't taste like that at all. It is truly something that is more akin to the micro flavors in wine than regular tobacco that's grown everywhere else in the world. And that's a function of the fermentation and the curing process.
What is it about St. James Parish, something about the soil that makes it unique to that? In the whole world, this one spot, St. James Parish. What is it unique about St. James Parish?
I think it's two things, Errol. The first thing is the generational knowledge on how to cure the tobacco. I'm a big believer in genetic memory. And when your family has been doing it for generations, you grow up in it and you know the nuances of curing the tobacco properly. The second part is the genetics of the seed, which are heirloom seeds. Farmers keep seeds from year to year. If Errol Labor said he wanted to grow an acre of tobacco in Algiers or in the city, I'm not sure you can get the seed. The third thing I think, Errol, is we talk a lot in wine about the terroir, right? The amendments in the soil that make wine grapes taste a certain way. I think our tobacco is the same way. It's no secret that St. James Parish sits atop these huge salt domes. And through millennia, these salt domes have been pushing micronutrients to the top of the soil, right? They're full of gypsum and potash and all these things, calcite, that aren't available elsewhere. As a matter of fact, the other place in Louisiana that has these salt domes are New Iberia, where the Tabasco peppers were first grown. So perhaps that's a coincidence. But I think the soil flavors the tobacco. I think the expertise, the artisanship of the grower to cure it properly. I think those are the three biggest attributes on what makes Perique special to St. James Parish.
So the soil flavors the tobacco, but then would you say that the salt domes feed the soil?
That's exactly right. There's things like andrite and gypsum and calcite that are the micronutrients that are on top of the salt domes that aren't a lot of other places in Louisiana. And the institutional knowledge to take this green plant and turn it brown and then ferment it to this dark, rich, black leafed product that if done right, Errol, you can taste chocolate and you can taste these flavors that you couldn't in a regular Virginia tobacco or something that's grown in the Caribbean. So it's both a function of geography and it's a function of expertise. You know, it's the same reasons why certain families in France make great wine, because they've been making great wine for 150 years. I think the folks in St. James Parish have the know-how and they have their acreage.
So who are the buyers for this? I mean, is it the companies that make cigars or pipe tobacco?
In 50 or 60 years ago, Errol, there were three main buyers. So a farmer would grow and he would have a relationship with one buyer in particular, and then they would sell it to the wholesaler. Currently, they're down to two. There's one buyer in Convent. You mentioned Convent earlier, who will buy your tobacco, and he will mix it with other tobaccos from Kentucky and tobaccos from North Carolina, and he'll make a mixture called an Acadian Perique. And farmers can sell to him. And the second gentleman is a gentleman who sells only 100% St. James Perique. And he actually sells his tobacco to American Spirit Cigarettes. I don't know if you're familiar with that brand. It has an Indian on the pack, and they're toted as a natural product. But it's my understanding that maybe 5% of a American Spirit cigarette is St. James Parish Perique tobacco. So those are the two buyers, and you know, it's a buyer's market. It's a commodity. The price depends on demand. The price depends on what sort of year you've had with the weather. And that's where everyone sells their tobacco, to those two wholesalers.
Is American Spirit or American Spirit cigarette something that's you can go to the store and buy?
Right. Just like everything else, Errol, it is a niche brand. It is what they call a craft brand, a micro brand, right? They're not Marlboros. They're not Pall Malls. They're not Camels. Craftsmanship and small batches are all the rage right now. Apparently that type of cigarette is very popular with a 20 or 30 year old demographic. But yeah, you can find those cigarettes in any convenience store or any other place where people buy their regular cigarettes.
It's like beer, all the emphasis on craft beers now. So
that is exactly, that's a good point, Errol. For 100 years, the tobacco buyers wanted all the Perique to taste the same. They would blend one farmer's tobacco with another farmer's tobacco because the buyers wanted a very consistent product where everything tasted the same year to year, right? It's kind of like you can go in any McDonald's in America and the Big Mac is going to taste exactly the same. It's only in recent years that some pipe tobacco companies have been blending their pipe tobacco in small batches. You know, just like there's craft beer, now there's craft pipe tobacco, where the blenders want those special notes. in any barrel of Perique Arrow, it encapsulate a time and place. The flavors in that one barrel are different from year to year. It can be different from farmer to farmer. So a good blender wants these notes and is making small batch pipe tobacco with it. And they want the unique characteristics. That's a new development. Just like people like craft bourbon and craft beer and craft wine, people now want craft small batch tobacco. And that has been the lifeblood of the tobacco business in St. James Parish the last 20 years.
Is there any use for Perique other than some form of smoking?
Not that I know of, Errol. The part of tobacco that made it popular many, many years ago in St. James, the river parishes that you noticed, that you mentioned earlier, were settled in about 1715, right? When the population of New Orleans was 450 folks. Part of the John Law concession, where those acres were given to those native people, and I live in what they call the German coast, the river parishes, St. Charles, St. James, St. John parishes. Part of that concession was that they had to grow tobacco. It's on record that in 1740, 400,000 pounds of tobacco was raised in the river parishes. That's a lot. So it's been grown for a very long time. And the great part about that commodity, Errol, is that it doesn't go bad, right? Unlike vegetables that you could grow and put on a ship and send it back to Spain or send it back to France, tobacco doesn't expire. So it was a cash crop. The crowns of Spain and the crowns of France wanted to turn Louisiana into what Virginia was. Virginia has been growing tobacco since the 1600s. They tried to grow tobacco in the West Indies with great success, in Puerto Rico and Trinidad and Tobago. And they started doing the same thing in South Louisiana, when truly we were the northernmost part of the Caribbean, as mm-hmm. I've heard you refer to before.
So was there a time when there was a high interest in Louisiana tobacco in Europe?
It's still the case. If I had to guess, half of the St. James Parish tobacco that is raised and cured ends up in the European market. America is one of the countries that are leading with the anti-smoking movement. Much to our success, but European countries and more so lately Asian countries have not given up smoking as readily as what we have in the States.
And isn't it high in nicotine?
It's high in taste. The nicotine is no more or less than a tobacco that's grown in Kentucky or a tobacco that's grown in North Carolina. It's the flavor of it that's powerful.
Yeah. Okay. For the fermentation process, what time of the year are the leaves usually picked?
The process is, if you'll be patient with me, Errol, the small plants are planted like we do everything in Louisiana during Holy Week, normally the week before Easter, after the fear of frost has passed. The tobacco plants are put in the ground. They grow for 3 months. The green plants are harvested during the summer, probably in June. The green plants are hung up to dry. As they dry, they go from green to brown. When the leaves are brown, the main stem in the leaf is removed. Small packs are made. The small packs are put in the barrel. Then the pressure is applied in the barrel. Every 3 months, all the tobacco from the barrel is removed.
And the barrels, these are bourbon barrels, aren't they?
It's a bourbon barrel, but truthfully, Errol, that adds to the folklore that the bourbon remnants from the barrel flavor the tobacco, and that's not a bad tale to tell. But in truly, before they were making Perique tobacco in barrels, they were making them in wooden boxes. And the legend is, before there were wooden boxes, they would cure the tobacco in old tree stumps. And they would put rocks on top of the tobacco and smash it, and it would It would ferment that way. It's not unlike what they do with Latin America tobaccos, with cigar tobaccos, when they make what's called a pilon, when they take the tobacco leaves and they lay them down flat, and they're kind of making a compost pile with the tobacco. And as the leaf decomposes, the leaves turn brown and they turn it, and they get a well-flavored cigar tobacco. We do the same thing, except we put it in a barrel and apply pressure, and we accelerate that aging.
Right. This technique, wasn't it discovered like by the, was it the Choctaws or the ones who first came up with doing this? Or,
well, when you think about the colonists, the original German coast colonists, the people with the last name Mathurin, Schecksnyder, Ogeron, Wagespach, Foss, those German settlers that were here in the early 1700s befriended a lot of the native folks. And the folklore is that they discovered the fermentation from the Indians. And there's an old story that's told that some Indian is probably smoking some tobacco in his makeshift palmetto hut. And his wife told him to quit smoking inside, much like our wives tell us not to smoke inside. So he went hide his tobacco in a tree stump, and he forgot about it for 6 months. And 6 months later, he had discovered how great it tastes 6 months later. So that is part of the lore, that the knowledge to ferment the tobacco was taken from the native peoples who were here before them. Tobacco probably got here, Errol, by design, by the Spanish folks who came in the 1600s. So it's hard to distinguish fact from fiction when it comes to folklore of Perique.
Well, for lack of a better story, I'll buy that.
I can't tell you how many cigar lovers and pipe lovers, wives tell them not to smoke inside. So yeah. I'm sure that has been true through the ages.
Whenever you hear these stories about the beginning of a process, and you just wonder how they figured that out, and I guess it was circumstantial. I mean, just frying things out, and I'm sure they tried a lot of things that didn't work. It's like the old story about the first guy who ate an oyster, right?
Right.
It's just like you're trying, hope you don't die from it.
He had to be hungry.
Yeah. But it's amazing. That's a fairly elaborate process. I mean, where you stack these up and you put them in a barrel. But I guess over time it did. There are, 25 families in St. James now that are in this business?
If I had to estimate, Errol, I would say 18 to 25. The challenge is it is incredibly labor intensive. Not a single part of planting the seed to harvest can be done mechanically. A grower's hands touch that tobacco plant 24 times from the time the seed is planted to the time it's cut by hand with a cane knife or a machete, to the time it's hung in the barn to turn brown. The main stem is removed by hand. It's placed in a barrel by hand. Everything is so laborious. An old farmer who was a friend of my family's, Mr. Pershing Martin, who made tobacco his entire life, he said, to make Perique tobacco, you only need two things, a strong back and a weak mind. Simply because nothing can be done, nothing is done mechanically. You know, the farmers in Kentucky and North Carolina harvest their tobacco with tractors and they hardly touch it at all. But both the planting and the fermentation process takes a lot of handwork. And I think to our credit, that's what separates what we do from inferior types.
So do you have to bring in labor or is it just done within the families?
Well, Perique tobacco production has gone down for the past 50 years simply because no one has big families anymore, Errol. When you had 10 kids and all those 10 kids could help bring in the crop, making tobacco was relatively easy. But when you start to hire farm labor, right, and you don't have the free labor that you did from your children, it makes it incredibly hard to get ahead. So as the large families demised, so did Perique tobacco production. Because if you got to pay for your labor, it's hard to make your ends meet.
So do you do all that? Do you go out with a and some kind of knife and cut it and cut it back and plant the seed? I mean, do you all do all that by hand?
We do. And I don't mean to sound reminiscent, but some of the best memories, and my dad is certainly still with us. He's only 75 years old, but those early mornings before the sun comes up, being underneath the tobacco shed, getting ready to go cut it and put it on the back of the tractor and haul it in and processing it are some of the best memories I have with my dad and my grandfather. There's not a lot of talking that goes on, and it's hard work, and it's South Louisiana in July, and it's dirty, and you've already broken a sweat by 7:30 in the morning. But on hindsight, it is what makes my family special and what makes a lot of St. James Parish family special. If St. James Parish was known for two things, I think the first thing would be the bonfires along the levee, which would give us our sense of place. And the second thing that makes us unique is the process of making Perique tobacco. That's what makes our families unique among all others in Louisiana.
So how long does the harvesting season last?
You stagger the planting arrow depending on, because certainly you can't harvest it all at one time. But for a good family, everything will be in the barrel and done by the middle of August. Right, you start cutting the tobacco in maybe late May, early June, and if everything's done right and the weather's perfect and there's no there's not too much rain, you can be done in mid-August. Tobacco in the barrel, sitting there, letting it age for a year, and you'll be paid handsomely in 12 months.
And will you really be paid handsomely? I mean, is there money in this?
The money has been better, Errol. In the 1960s and 1970s, when families began to be smaller, there wasn't any money to be made in it. Since we've had this re-explosion of craft tobaccos, the price has gone up. It's a hobby of those 18 families. I can only think of maybe three families who do it full time. And it's their bread and butter, right? They probably grow sugarcane in the fall, and they grow tobacco in the summer. Most everyone does it to reminisce about the good old days like my dad and I do, and they do it on a part-time basis. And, you know, those 18 families may make three or four barrels apiece, enough to get the family under the tobacco shed and reminisce about the old days and laugh and have fun and work hard.
Have you all been affected by some of the natural disasters like the hurricanes?
We certainly have. My family has not grown tobacco since the beginning of COVID. We took a year off simply because, you know, remember COVID came in March and no one knew what to do. So we didn't make a crop that year, and we didn't make a crop the second year. And then that lapsed to the third year, and Hurricane Ida last year knocked down nearly every tobacco barn, including mine, or my dad's, in the parish. So natural disasters have played a big part in everyone's tobacco production. Because those things aren't easy to replace, Errol. A tobacco barn may be 60 feet across and 180 feet long, and it's where you keep your tractor and where you keep your tobacco press and your barrels. And when that's all gone, it's hard to start again from scratch because all those tools have been inherited from generations of tobacco farmers.
Did I see that there is also a Perique liqueur that someone makes?
A gentleman out of New Orleans makes a Perique liqueur. I'm not sure if he sells it in the States. There's some provisions that we have in our laws about making liquor with nicotine in it, but apparently it's pretty popular in Europe. I've had a bottle. It tastes pretty good. How they do it, I don't know. I don't taste a tobacco taste in the liqueur. Maybe that's good or bad, but there's a gentleman in New Orleans, he makes absinthe, and he also makes a Perique liqueur.
Is it a fruity taste?
It is a fruity taste. It's an aperitif. It's very, very sweet. It's a little thicker. It's kind of like a cognac, I would say. And it's delicious, but I just can't taste the tobacco in it. And I've tried my best. I drank a whole bottle one time and couldn't taste it.
Wow. I don't know. It seems like a hard sell, a liqueur made out of tobacco. But I guess once you try it, you like it, yeah.
Well, I can tell you that what tobacco growers have done in St. James Parish is not unlike what wine growers do everywhere. When the grower also makes the final product, something special happens. And it's that unique knowledge that separates Perique tobacco from other types of tobaccos, other burleys that are grown all across the United States.
So do you think there's a future for this, a long-term future?
I do. I think this craft, I want to call it a fad, but I don't think microbrew beer is going away or specialty small batch bourbons are going away. I think more and more pipe tobacco blenders are tasting Perique tobacco, and it tastes different arrow year to year and barrel to barrel. The tobacco that me and my dad make may taste different than the tobacco from the farmer down the road for a bunch of reasons. Our curing technique may be a little different than our neighbors. So as long as people are into this small batch and are willing to pay a premium for small batch, right? I mean, you pay more for a craft beer than you would a Budweiser. As long as that's going, I think the future of Perique is pretty bright.
So there can be a taste difference from neighbor to neighbor.
Every barrel is different. A barrel from 2017 will be different than a barrel from 2018. Just like, you know, a good year of Romani Conti from 2017, the weather conditions makes it different from 2018. Our tobacco is not different at all. The weather conditions and the soil conditions make all the difference. What happens, Errol, when you look at the science, when we take that leaf of tobacco, the natural yeast from the air lands on that tobacco leaf, and we'll put it in the barrel, and it'll ferment in its own juices from the yeast that's naturally available in the air. Well, the yeast on my tobacco farm may be a little different than the yeast further down the road. Maybe the yeast that's floating in the air, maybe we had an early spring and the flowers have bloomed earlier this year than last year. So all those conditions flavor the tobacco naturally. So the connoisseurs can taste the difference, and it makes the flavor wonderful, in my opinion. And I'm not a cigarette smoker. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I'm an occasional cigar smoker. But I do enjoy the taste of a pipe, the smell of a pipe, and I know a lot of folks feel the same way.
Is there any way that somebody listening to this and said, man, I'd like to try some of this, is there any consumer access to anything made with Perique?
Sure. If someone did happen to be a pipe smoker and they were looking for a blend, pipe tobacco is available for sale on the internet. Right. So there's a bunch of pipe tobacco manufacturers where you could just buy it online, just like you would buy any other product online. There's one particular company called Cornell and Deal that are making Cornell, C-O-R-N-E-L-L, and Deal, D-E-I-H-L, that are making small batch tobaccos with a lot of Perique. There's one I like particularly. That's probably 25% Perique and 75% Virginia, called Bayou Morning. That's got a wonderful flavor. But you find on the websites, they will list the tobaccos that's listed in the blend. They won't tell you how much is in each blend. That's proprietary. But all pipe tobacco manufacturers that have websites, you can dig through it and find one with a St. James Perique, right? An Acadian Perique will taste different. A St. James Perique is something that's special.
One more thing. I'd always heard of Perique as a source of purple, as being used for purple dye or purple coloring. Is that true, or is that a legend?
That'd be indigo. So a lot of those tobacco farmers from the 1700s that I noted. They went from farming tobacco to indigo. And then when indigo went out of fashion, when we came up with artificial dyes, then, you know, sugar in the 1800s became where all the profit was. So a lot of folks went from tobacco to indigo, and we still are stuck on sugar in South Louisiana and the German coast and the river parishes where I was raised.
But never Perique. Perique was never...
Never Perique. If you would try to dye something with Perique Arrow, you just end up with a brown stain on your shirt.
Okay. Well, I think we'll try to avoid that. Hey, what is the name of your company?
Well, Dad and I ran a company, mostly Dad, called Grand Point Perique. And we were small farmers, but there are a lot of farmers who sell to those two wholesalers. And anything with a St. James Perique moniker will be both grown and fermented in St. James Parish.
Okay. Well, congratulations for doing that, for holding on to an industry and keeping it alive. Because I know it could have easily have died out and become extinct years ago. So thanks to some of you out there in St. James Parish, you've been determined to keep it. And may it grow stronger. And who knows, maybe one day somebody will find a cure for cancer made with Perique. And that'll be a whole new story. But anyway, thank you very much.
Well, that's very kind to say, Arrow. And I think just like Mr. Martin told me many years ago, I must have both a strong back and a weak mind. So yeah. Thank you very much for the well wishes.
Well, I'll question the part about the weak mind, though, okay? Yeah, too. So thank you very much, okay?
Thank you, Ms. LeBourne.
Thanks for listening to Louisiana Insider. Subscribe, like, and rate our show where you listen to your podcasts, and follow us on social media at Louisiana Life Mag. Executive producer for Louisiana Insider is Kelly Massico, in cooperation with Louisiana Life Magazine. For subscription information to Louisiana Life, call 504-828-1380. Our theme music was provided by Rich Collins. Hey, that's me. Join us again next week for more discoveries inside Louisiana.